Episode 14, The Countdown to Distinction. What happens after that epic three-parter? We're going to find out this time on Energon Entries. Welcome back to Energon Entries, everybody. This is your host, Matt Freights, and we are reviewing episode 14 of Generation 1, Season 1, The Countdown to Extinction. So let's get into the episode recap. The episode opens as Earth is attempting to recover from the wreckage of the natural disasters Cybertron's orbit has caused. Starscream has gone AWOL in Megatron's perceived death, while the Decepticons fight amongst themselves. Megatron returns and brings the scattered Decepticons together. He is angered by the news that Starscream and Dr. Arkaville are scheming together. He and the other Decepticons go in search of the tandem. Meanwhile, Starscream forces Dr. Arkaville to take him to his secret lab, where he learns of a new, powerful invention called the Exponential Generator. The Exponential Generator, he learns, can destroy the Earth if overloaded. Before taking Dr. Arkaville to Cybertron, he sets a timer that will cause the Earth's destruction. Using what appears to be Megatron's Decepticon symbol, he coerces Shockwave into going along with his plan. During these events, the Autobots discover what is happening and go after the Decepticons. In the process, Megatron and crew set a trap in quicksand that seemingly spells the Autobots' doom. After escaping with Ironhide's assistance, Jazz uses Laserbeak to find out about the lab, and the Autobots head that way. On Cybertron, Dr. Arkaville is gravely injured in an attempt to sabotage Starscream's plan. Starscream, needing him, saves him by turning him into a half-man, half-machine. As the Autobots and Decepticons battle at the lab for the Exponential Generator, Shockwave informs Megatron of the timer Starscream has set. Megatron disables this timer. As the Exponential Generator goes Nova, Megatron transforms as Optimus Prime uses him to shoot the generator into the sky. It explodes near Starscream, who crashes down near Megatron. The episode ends with the Autobots laughing at what Megatron may do to Starscream. So we always talk about Starscream and how he's always trying to take over the Decepticons. And this episode is one that highlights the worst parts of it. But the episode begins by actually showing the destructions that the Decepticon plans actually cause. This is not something you see all that often, because most of the time we don't actually get to see any type of consequences. It's actually kind of interesting. They have all these battles, so many things explode, and yet at the end of the day, it seems like there are no repercussions. They don't have to rebuild anything. People aren't dying. And this time we get a very, very small glimpse into what actually happens when the Decepticons do something that affects the entirety of the Earth. It's nice to see that the episode right after a three-parter has a little bit of continuity, because a lot of things happened in that three-parter, and the Earth obviously had a lot of things happen to it, and the Autobots are helping to recover the Earth. So this shows the symbiotic relationship, or the relationship that the Autobots have grown with the humans. In this scene, you get a little bit of a weird animation quirk as you see two Brawn standing next to each other in the same scene. This really will never get old for me, and I'm going to point them out as often as I see them. But what you notice is that Decepticons can't get along without a leader. And that constant fighting without Megatron lets me know that Megatron, even if he is evil, and even if his plans have really bad intentions, he's actually a good leader, even if leading by fear, because the Decepticons themselves, they can't get it together. Even with Starscream there, Starscream can't really get it together for them, because Starscream is also not a great leader. But Megatron leads by fear and at least has the Decepticons able to have a plan. So here you see them scatter. They don't know what to do. But I also asked the question, and I asked it last time, is how does Megatron just survive the kind of explosion that happens in the previous episode? If memory serves, he is part of an explosion while he's going back to Cybertron as the Autobots make his shuttle explode. I said at the end of the last episode, how does he seem to survive these things? He just has minor cuts, minor scrapes, things like that, that would be on a human, not fatal at all. And on him, it seems like, I just got a little bit burned. He comes back better than ever every time. It's pretty remarkable. He obviously is battle tested, and he seems to be able to get through a lot of things. The episode, in my opinion, seems to be cleaning up a mess that Starscream left with his mutiny. How does Teletran find the Decepticons in seconds, but yet somehow doesn't know that they're in the actual lair? It kind of confuses me, the continuity that Teletran, when it's supposed to be a supercomputer, can't find the Decepticons when they infiltrate Autobot headquarters, but at the end of this, or at the beginning of this episode, is like, oh, there are the Decepticons, here they are. And it's like, wow, Megatron's not there. The Decepticons are scattered. Starscream is doing his own thing, but boom, Teletran 1 can kind of just find it. And that seems to be a little bit incongruous. There should be a computer that is consistent in what it does. And I have to say that both parties seem to need better ways of traveling secretly. It seems like the Decepticons always know what the Autobots are doing, and it seems like the Autobots are able to find out what the Decepticons are doing. And why even have clandestine plans at all? You should just be out in the open, tell them what they're going to do, because they all seem to be able to find each other. Dr. Arkaville opening his lab with the phrase open sesame is hilarious, because this is very much a cliche term that a lot of shows and movies at this time and even earlier would use as a password of some sort that would have mystical powers to open the door. So for Dr. Arkaville, this super, super smart guy, supposedly, to have this as his password is just like that time in Spaceballs where the password was 12345. It just made me laugh. So Starscream always has these ideas that he's going to take over the Decepticons, going to take over the universe, take over the Earth, whatever. But in this case, it's like, does Starscream think he's going to be able to fight off the other Decepticons now with Megatron in tow? He doesn't know this yet. And the Autobots. He's not fighting two wars here. I don't know if he thinks he's going to unite the Decepticons once his plan comes to fruition and is successful. And maybe it's the idea that, well, they'll see that I'm successful, they'll take me seriously, and we'll united front against the Autobots. But right now, the Decepticons with Megatron hate him. The Autobots obviously hate him. And it's the concept of the enemy of my enemy is my friend. And that's the Autobots and Decepticons right now. Again, a big hole in Starscream's plan, but this seems to be very, very consistent with Starscream's thinking. I will say that Decepticons really aren't great at the whole risk assessment thing, because in the last three-parter and then even in this episode, hey, the Earth will explode, but that's fine because I'll be gone by then. And that's quite a risk to take, and that's quite an assumption to make that you will be gone at this point. But everything the Decepticons do is to get energy so they can go back to Cybertron and take Cybertron as their home. And the risks seem to be getting more and more large in that endeavor, but they don't seem to think of the consequences, and they seem to sort of just say, hey, if the Earth explodes, that's fine. Hopefully I'll be gone by here. I have to give Starscream credit. He doesn't like that Dr. Arkaville is out of his sight so that he can foil his plans. If you remember in that three-parter episode, you had Dr. Arkaville being able to sneak off because Megatron really didn't take him seriously. Megatron doesn't see humans as having any value, and even though he was using a human to get to the means of his end, Dr. Arkaville was able to kind of do what he wanted, and Starscream was like, I'm not letting that happen again. You're going to be right here. So I have to give Starscream credit for that. The anime animation of Dr. Arkaville worried and sweating when he was with Starscream is kind of funny, because this show is technically, by definition, anime, but they don't really traffic in a lot of the anime quintessential things that you would normally see. And if you go back and watch like Speed Racer, for example, which was a very, very popular anime at this time frame, you don't see a lot of that here. But Dr. Arkaville kind of has that, and maybe that's just the animators doing that as sort of an homage to true anime. Since the Decepticons can fly and the Autobots can't, it seems like they should always fight them from the high ground. The Decepticons should have this advantage at all times. And it just is funny because they don't seem to have a lot of staying power in these fights. They have the high ground, they trap the Autobots, but as soon as Megatron is hit once or thrown once, they retreat. It's not really brave. I mean, I guess it's very, very essential to who they are as enemies or as bad guys, because as we know, usually bad guys in these sense don't really have the staying power, which is why they lose all the time. What you do find out, though, is that Shockwave is very loyal to Megatron in the end. Shockwave, to me, strikes me as a soldier that just does what he is told. And I don't know if that's out of fear of Megatron or what. We have seen instances in which Megatron has threatened Shockwave, but I think Shockwave is just so loyal. He has picked his side. He has his leader, and he's just going to do that. And again, intentions aside, I've got to throw respect that way because, hey, there is something to be said about loyalty. Despite being maniacal, Dr. Arkaville doesn't want to lose his home. I think he had that revelation with Megatron that he's going to be given something that's not there anymore. And while he wants to rule the Earth, it is his home after all. And he's seeing that the Decepticons are not his friend. The Autobots really didn't think that the Decepticons would lay a trap in this scenario when they got hit with quicksand. And I have to say, again, Megatron being really good at strategic planning quicksand is pretty ingenious. And the Autobots at the time didn't know what it was, got trapped right in it. But I want to know, how did Megatron know about this? Had he surveyed the land? A lot has been happening, and I just kind of wonder. Jazz using Laserbeak to play in his tape deck is very convenient. At this time, we don't have a character similar to Soundwave. And for Prime to say, lay it on me, is very 80s, very typical of this time frame, very typical of who Jazz was as a character, and I'm all for it. And it seems like Starscream has been a pioneer here because poor Dr. Archiville, of course, tries to sabotage the plan, and Starscream turns him into a half-man, half-machine. He's half-organic, half-machine. And I couldn't help but get a little bit giddy as a Star Trek person to think that did Starscream create the first member of the Borg? I don't know. But Dr. Archiville seems to be in line for that distinction. The thing is that this procedure seems like it would be so invasive that it would be tough to survive. It seems like Dr. Archiville was in dire straits, had mortal wounds, and Starscream doing this seems like, would this actually cause him to die? It seems like a very invasive procedure, but hey, it is what it is. I think it's funny that the exponential generator, which looked like a little egg thing, while it was going Nova, was so hot that it melted part of Megatron. But then all of a sudden later on, when he and Prime are trying to jockey for position with this thing, he seems to be A-okay. It seemed to be something that was temporary. Maybe he's made of adamantium and I just don't know it yet. And he heals very fast. It's funny though, how when he's faced with certain death, Megatron will always work with Optimus Prime or whoever he has to make sure and ensure his own survival. Megatron is smart in that way. He has plans, but he knows that he has to live for another day. And so working with Optimus Prime, seeing the visual, of course, of Optimus Prime shooting him out of gun form is weird. But this is something that I've learned about Megatron, is that he's always going to do what is in his best interest. And in this case, survival was in his best interest. I really liked this episode for a lot of reasons, and the biggest reason was the fact that there was continuity between the three-parter and this episode. I think it's great to show consequences. I think it's great to have something tie all of this together. Up until now, it seems like the Decepticons do bad things, the Autobots went out, and that's all we get in singular episodes. And I realize that this is a cartoon, it's not that serious, but it's nice to see things happen in the last episode, big things happen, and here's what happened, and here's how we're cleaning it up. And I thought that was the best part of this. Obviously, a lot of the same tropes exist. You see a lot of animation quirks and so forth. But you get a little bit of a glimpse into what these characters are all about. You see Starscream push and push harder to become a leader. You see Megatron continue to be resilient and have good plans. And in the end, you see him going into business for himself, making sure he survives. And the Autobots always doing what they have to ensure the safety of Earth. What did you think of the episode? Let me know. MattyIceMedia@gmail.com is the email address. Give me questions, comments on the episodes, things you'd like to hear from me. Hope this finds everybody well. Hope this finds everybody safe. And I want to thank you for being patient as I've been away for 2 weeks. This is Energon Entries. The opinions and viewpoints expressed on Energon Entries are those of Matt Freights and his guests and not necessarily those of the Matty Ice Media Network. Energon Entries is exclusively owned by Matt Freights and is brought to you by the Matty Ice Media Network.